Hi, and welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at Golf News Net. And make sure to check out our work on golfnewsnet.com and Yahoo Sports' Duffel Ball Golf blog, and download our Roku TV app. We are presented by BetDSI.com. We use their odds each and every week, including this week for the Players Championship. We love using their site because you can see as the money moves how that affects odds and vice versa. And even if you're in a jurisdiction where you can't legally bet on sports, their information is great for fantasy gamers who are trying to figure out where the smart money is going and as you try and pick your teams for your fantasy golf leagues every week. So check out BetDSI.com. Clark Burrows is our guest for this Monday Players Week podcast. We had him on leading into the Masters tournament, and we have him on primarily to talk about betting odds and using his experience as a former PGA Tour player, as someone who's played in the Masters, played in the Players, played in the U.S. Open. He's been around. He's seen high-level professional golf, and he still keeps up with the game. And so we love to talk to him about the connection between odds and performance. Here's some of his stories from years ago, including, as we talk about in this podcast, his top 20 performance in the 1990 Players Championship. So a little bit of a different era for the Players. It was played in March. It was relatively new, still within its first decade at the stadium course. So we talked to Clark about the field this week, about the stadium course, about how it has evolved over time, his memories of it, and a whole bunch of other things betting related. So we'll leave you to that conversation we recorded earlier today with Clark.
Clark Burrows joins us again. He joins us each of the major tournaments for the year. And while the Players is not a major championship, technically speaking, it's still a really freaking important tournament. And so we wanted to have Clark on to talk about it. Clark, thanks for being on with us again. You have been a native in that part of the world before. You know the Players, you know TPC Sawgrass. So what are your initial impressions of this year's tournament in this field?
Well, the first thing, Ryan, thanks for having me on the show. I enjoy it. And secondly, the thing you got to realize about TPC Sawgrass is anybody can win. All right, you've had past champions like Fred Funk, who hits it about, you know, as far as Michelle Wee, not very long for a man. And then you have guys, you know, like Tiger Woods, who hits bombs it. So anybody can really win this week. It's it doesn't favor any type player. And that's the unique thing about what I like about TPC Sawgrass is everybody, anybody can win, really, I think.
Yeah, you got to play kind of a perfect, you got to play like a perfect four rounds of golf, but you don't get docked because you're a certain type of player, and you don't get help because you're a certain type of player. You just have to play great golf, and if you do that, then you win.
Yeah, well, unlike other courses where, you know, if you bomb the ball, you have a big advantage. Here, it's position golf. It's ball striking. You know, I mean, Fred Funk won, you know, not that long ago. He had to be like 45 years old and he won, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see. You're going down there tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm heading down, and this will be, I guess, the fourth or fifth time I've covered the tournament. And this is the third time I've done it in May. Did once in March. And they're talking about moving it back to March. What have you always seen as kind of a comparison between how it played in March versus now how it plays in May?
Well, when I played in 1990, I finished tied for 16th with Greg Norman. And it was played in March, and the weather was a lot worse than it is in May. It's a lot colder and a lot windier.
Yeah.
The year I played, Jody Mudd won. I don't know if you remember his name. He was a hell of a player back in the day. He's from Kentucky. But on the last day of the tournament, I'm in the second-to-last group on Sunday, and I'm paired with two Hall of Famers, Tom Kite and Hale Irwin.
Wow.
And I was nervous as a cat. We get up on the first hole. Hale Irwin shanks a second shot and chips in for three. So we get the same round. We get to number eight, the long par three.
Yeah.
He shanks like a three iron, and it avoids the hazard. and he chips that in. So Hale Irwin's got two shanks, two birdies. That same
Hale
day,
an escape artist, man.
He was, and I'll tell you what. What I saw that day, Tom Kite and Hale Irwin, I don't know if they really cared for one another that much, because they were competing like you wouldn't believe. You know, I mean, it's like that same day on hole number 10. You got to remember this was played in March, and you know it was blustery conditions. I think 10 under won that year, so you know it was playing tough.
Yeah.
So we get to number 10, and they had the blowers out there, you know, to blow the leaves.
Right, yeah.
Off the greens. So I get to number 10. I've got about a 6-8-foot putt. The pin's on the back right. I hit this putt from 8 feet. It's looking good. This frickin' leaf comes out of nowhere and hits my ball. Knocks it offline. A leaf. I've never had that ever done. You know, my ball's going, and here comes this leaf and knocks my ball offline.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then I got to 17, birdied 16, got too fast, chunked it in the water on 17. Made double, got it up and down from the grandstands on 18. I think I finished tied for 16th or 18th. But you're right. The difference in time in the month of March is a lot tougher than May. So it'll be interesting. Go ahead.
Do you think they should move it back to March, or do you think it should stay in May?
I like it better in March because it's tougher. Could be 50 degrees one day then. You know, it's not going to be 90.
Yeah, and you
so
won't burn
like
out the course. You won't lose the course like they did last year.
No. Well, the year that I played, 1990, everybody was griping and whining because the greens were a little spotty and this or that. But guess what? Everybody's playing the same course. And it's like Jack Nicklaus used to say, when people are whining and crying, I already have them beat.
Yep, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Now, they're kind of the top guys, you know, we kind of look down the line, top four guys in the world, let's say. You know, we got Jason Day defending. He obviously likes the place. We've got Rory McIlroy, who doesn't want there, but he's got two things going. He likes to play the course, but he's changing equipment. He's signed with TaylorMade, so he's got a new bag of stuff this week. We got Jordan.
Hold on a minute, though. Hold on a minute on McIlroy. He's the one that didn't play in that tournament one year because years ago he didn't like it. You remember?
Yeah, but that was Chubby
Taylor's
fault.
Was it?
Yeah, because he wanted to make a stunt of it, and then, like, the next year he signed with a different agency.
Oh, okay. But I remember him skipping that event.
He did, yeah, him and Westwood.
Oh, yeah, Chubby Chandler. Okay, I got it. Westwood's Chubby Chandler, too.
Yep, yep. And so he wanted to make a stunt out of it, and he got him to skip it somehow. And then that was the last of that.
But, yeah, and recently he has taken a liking to it. What's his best finish there, do you know?
I think it's like six. He's had three top 15s in like the last 4 years. I mean, he knows how to play the place.
Well, I think something like in his last 5 or 10 starts, he hasn't finished out of the top 10 worldwide.
Yeah, he's been on a tear. He's
he got married, you know.
He's happy about that. That's good news.
Yep.
Looks like his best finish is sixth place in 2014. No worse than 12th in the last 4 years.
That's strong.
That's strong.
You know,
for a course that doesn't favor a guy.
Right. But the question to me with Rory is that flat stick. Can he make enough putts?
Yeah.
I mean, his ball striking's second to none, but it always seems to come down to that putter with him, you know?
It does. But the nice thing about Sawgrass is that being such a good ball striker, he can get his ball so much closer to the hole than anyone else that he doesn't have to make as many putts.
Right? That's true.
So he does have that benefit.
Right. I like that Sergio.
Yeah, Sergio's past winner, what, 08?
2008,
Tiger Woods
yeah.
for not being, not being there.
He's
you remember that in his,
acceptance
speech?
Yeah, him and Tiger got bad blood.
Yeah, they got it. They got, and they had it back again in 13 there when Tiger won.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's happy. He's going to be married soon. He's a Masters winner, and he's got a great record there, too.
Yeah, he and that Ricky Fowler plays good there, too, right?
Yeah, Fowler's got a win in 2015. He was a runner-up in 2012. He's playing pretty well,
yeah.
too.
He'd be on my list.
Yeah,
what's
I would think
the
he's
odds on him? He's probably
like, he's like in the 15 to 20 range, kind of depending on where you look.
Right. Yeah,
that's
that'll
pretty
be
reasonable.
Yeah, that's pretty good odds for him. And Sergio, what's he like? 15,
16, 17, 18 in that range.
That's a pretty good price for him. Now the favorite is Dustin Johnson, and you and me both agree that we don't like him this week.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to look past his record there, even for as well as he's playing.
I think his best finish is a tie for 18th.
That's kind of stunning. Isn't it?
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, Phil Mickelson, he won the tournament. He's still asking himself, how did I win on this course?
That's true. I mean, he hasn't done all that great.
How about that Kevin Kisner? I bet you can get a big number on him.
You know, I went with Kisner last week. He's 50 to 1. And I thought Kisner was a hot hand, and he did absolutely nothing at Eagle Point. Obviously missed the cut. But he's playing this course well. And he's playing well overall.
Yeah, he could do some damage. He lost to Fowler in that playoff, right?
Yeah, it was him. And Sergio and Kisner.
That's right. Yeah,
that's,
Kisner was hanging tough. Kisner actually, he could have won. Remember, he had that putt on 18 to win. He had a great putt and it lipped out.
Yeah, he did.
But
he
yeah,
three,
I like it.
He had
I like
three
it.
Playoff
three
losses
playoff
that
losses
year.
That year.
He was the first guy in PGA Tour history to lose three playoffs in a year.
And he lost a playoff 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he did.
That's the Zurich Classic, right?
But that was some brutal golf. That playoff was bad.
I didn't see the playoff.
They played four holes
on Monday, right?
On Monday, three times on 18 at TPC Louisiana, and it was just lots of pars. For team golf, it was awful.
Cameron Smith, they ended up winning, right?
Yeah, him and Jonas Blix. And that got Cameron Smith
into the
playoffs.
I'll tell you what was worse, Ryan. I'll tell you what was worse was that playoff on the LPGA.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sitting here watching trying to watch the men's golf because it went off because it was on a rain delay. But they're showing the LPGA playoff. I turned the timer on this Christy Kerr after she took her drop from the cables. Okay? She placed her ball down, so then I put the timer on her. 1:55. She was taking 1:40 to 1:50. She should have been penalized.
Yeah,
it
she
was
really
the
should
worst.
Have been.
And they're trying to, you know, do something for the LPGA. Well, that was a bad look, man.
Yeah, that was a bad day for them. I mean, they had the spotlight all to themselves because the Zurich, you know, kind of had its issues and with the rain.
And then the Golf Channel bombed it up by showing that playoff. Everybody else wanted to watch the other one.
I mean, I wanted to see the playoff, but between how slow they were and that awful hole they kept playing over and over again, it was terrible.
Ryan, I'll take you and me, and we'll go play that hole seven times. It's 518 yards, par five. We're going to make a birdie.
Probably, yeah.
I'm making a birdie. You might make a birdie.
At 520, I'm pretty sure I could. You could kind of butt down a 2-iron the way that hole played, and we could probably get there in two.
Oh, but it was just painful to watch, man. it's about as painful to watch as my Kansas City Royals. That's about how painful it is. But let's
not
get
going,
back to the players here. I see that DSI, Bet DSI, has some interesting prop bets up. You want to hear some of these?
Yeah, well, let's start with how many balls in the water on 17. We got one on that?
Yeah, we got that. It's 38.5 it opened up at. Now it's 39.5. That's at Bet DSI.
Now, that's an interesting number because it seems like in recent years, the number has gone down of the number of players that have found the water at 17.
Not up.
So I would lean under.
Don't you think you got to check the forecast?
You do, and it looks pretty good right now, but that obviously can change in Florida. Things can change fast.
Well, according to this, the public liked the over because it opened up at 38.5, and now it's 39.5 minus 30 juice. I like the under like you.
It just seems like with the forecast supposed to be in the 80s, there might be a pop-up shower, not a lot of wind, 130-yard shot. That seems like an under.
All right, here's another one. How many tee shots during round four will settle in the water on the 17th hole? 6.5.
Usually the final round is a low number, unless the wind is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually more than six. It's like eight or ten.
Mm-hmm. Somebody might hit two in.
Yeah, someone could hit two in, of course, yeah.
How about the highest score on the 17th hole? The number is 7.
Now, that's a hard one because that's totally wind dependent. I mean, if you get a 30 minutes where there's bad wind, someone can make a 10, you know.
Right. Well, let's see. If you hit two balls in the water, one in, two out, three in, four out, you're hitting 5. So I guess if you got it on and two putted, you'd push at 7. So, yeah, you're right. That is a tough one.
Yeah, that's a hard I would say, but there's usually someone who is bound to screw it up. I'd still go under,
Remember that poor Len Matisse when he was leading the tournament and hit like 3 balls in there?
Yeah, that was a disaster.
You remember that? I felt bad for him.
Remember that one? I remember Sean O'Hare. I remember.
Yep.
I remember the year Fred Funk won. He just kind of had to hang on because it was so windy on that Monday.
All right, here's one more. What's the age of the Players Championship winner? 31.5.
That's a really tough one.
I know.
Because if one of the young guys wins, one of the top players wins, it's under.
How old is that Rory?
Except if it's Dustin Johnson, because he's 32.
Oh, there you go.
So that maybe that's what they're thinking about is if Dustin wins, the over wins.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough one, right?
But, I mean, you look at the guys who have won. There doesn't seem to be like it's a young man's tournament or an old man's tournament. It goes both ways.
And then they've got some other ones here at DSI. They have Will Dustin Johnson hit a tee shot in the water on the 17th hole? Will Rory hit his tee shot in the water? Will Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, or Phil Mickelson? And it's all plus money, yes, plus 500 on Jason Day. Jordan Spieth, they're all like plus 500, yes. You'd think one of those guys has got to hit it in the water, wouldn't you?
I mean, you get 5 guys.
Yeah, 5 guys.
Of those five, I would think Phil is probably the most likely to do it.
And he's the lowest odds.
He's
plus 325.
I mean, I don't think his issues on 12 and Augusta transfer. So I would think he's unlikely. Maybe Rory. I mean, he's not the best wedge player in the world.
So when you go down there, are you going to walk around or what do you do?
I love to walk any golf course I go to for a tournament the first day. Get on the ground, just go walk the place. Even if I've been there before.
Now, is this on Wednesday or the first round?
On Tuesday, I get there on Tuesday usually. So I'll get there tomorrow. I'll listen to a couple press conferences, and then I'm going to just go walk around and see the new 12th hole, see what they did to 6 and 7. Things didn't really talk about, you know, about the golf course, and just kind of get a sense of how the course is playing, just watching you guys play a few holes, and then kind of figure out with the weather, all right, what do I think the winning score is going to be, what do I think the weather will be like when...
Now, what do you do on Wednesday, then?
Wednesday, usually kind of a mess around day. I mean, I try to do some news conferences, usually do some radio appearances because it's normally like a major championship. And usually try to spy guys on the range. We try to talk to them a little bit, see what they think about the golf course, where the game is, try to marry how the course is playing with them.
Let me ask you a question, and you don't have to mention any names, but when you're doing that, are most of the guys cordial, or some of them are real assholes?
It kind of depends on time. You know, if you catch a guy like when he's hitting it like crap and he's grinding just to hit driver straight, and it's not going that well. Okay, it's probably a bad time to ask him what he thinks of the changes to the golf course. Because he's worried about changing his swing. But if it, you know, guy's happy, loose, just kind of get going in his warm-up, that's the best time, I think, to go talk to him. It's just catch him before they get into something serious. Don't catch him at the end, because then they're tired.
Can you go inside the ropes?
Yeah.
Like on the range, can you walk right inside the ropes?
Yeah, and I can just walk right up to him and kind of strike up a short conversation and... I mean, the important thing is also sound like you actually know what you're talking about. Don't say something stupid.
Right, well, you know what you're talking about.
Right, but you know, it's different talking to guys who are professional caliber players as opposed to the guys you play with on the weekend.
Right. Well, some of those guys are so loose.
Yeah,
you know,
some of them are really loose. They're relaxed. They don't want to be tense. They're trying intentionally not to be tense because the next 4 days will be tense.
Right.
So those guys are good to talk to.
You have had some bad experiences in the past.
I would think everyone has. I mean, I can't imagine there's a reporter who hasn't had someone blow them off or not be kind of curt or short with them, whatever it is.
Right.
I've never had someone... basically say, get the hell away from me. I mean, they'll at least tolerate a question or two, and then you kind of read them and go, okay, I'll leave you alone now.
Right. Now, do you write that down, like, not jot it down in your brain, like, man, I interviewed that guy. He was a real idiot.
I mean, you kind of know who you want to talk to about certain things after a while, right? I mean, you know, certain guys like to talk equipment. Certain guys like to talk architecture. Certain guys don't like to talk. They just, or they just want to talk about themselves, you know? So it depends on what you want to go to talk to.
That's a cool gig, man, that you have.
It's a good deal. I don't go to as many tournaments as everybody, but, you know, a handful of years is good enough for me.
Hey, how many do you go to?
Usually 5 to 7.
That's all you need, Ryan.
Yeah, trust me, that's all I need. After about 5 weeks of that, I'm like, all right, how do you guys do this every week?
Right, you don't like to travel and you miss your family.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously a lot of the PGA Tour guys bring their families with them a lot of places, and that's nice. But you know, after a while, you just want to see your own bed and your own kitchen and your own bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. But
I don't know how those guys do it.
It's tough. That's one of the reasons I quit. I got sick of that. I mean, you don't ever get to go home and eat. You know, just go home. I don't know. It is tough. You're right. It's well, now it's even better because they all got their own jets.
Right, that makes things easier when you can go home in a couple hours with a phone to come get the private jet.
And plus there's internet now, so, you know, it's not so boring.
Yeah, the time scale is a little bit different.
Yeah, you couldn't get on the internet or, you know, and you had to get on a regular flight. You know, only back in the day, only like three guys had jets, you know.
Yeah. Now, like I said, you can just call up NetJets and say, hey, I need a jet. Let's go. They're there in an hour.
Yeah, that's what they do, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. With their NetJets and Wheels Up and their others coming along, you can get to where you need to go really quickly.
So if you were to pick one guy this week, who would it be?
I've kind of got it narrowed down to
Matt Kuchar.
That's 40-1. And I love Francesco Molinari at 50-1.
He played pretty good last week, but kind of bombed on the weekend, huh?
Yeah, and that leaderboard got so crowded he couldn't really.
Where did he end up? Do you remember?
I think it was T24.
Oh, wow. He really bombed out.
Yeah, but there were so many guys so close to the lead that, I mean, you lose one stroke, you lost 10 spots.
Yeah, it was. I like leaderboards like that, don't you?
Yeah, it gives you a chance to score some big points if you're a daily fantasy person. You know, you're just one putt away from a ton of bonus points.
Right. What about a guy like, what about that Steve Stricker's at? He's probably got to be like 150-1. I mean, a guy like that, hey, he could get in there, man, on that course.
Stricker's 100-1.
I like him.
He's playing great on the 50-plus circuit. He can still hang.
He putts well.
Yeah.
Great wedge player. That's not a bad number.
That's not that crazy. I mean, put $5 on him, you know.
Yeah.
You pay off.
I like that Sergio as my favorite.
Yeah, Sergio is 16 or 18 to 1. Pretty good value considering he's a Masters
winner. I didn't used to like him that well. Remember when he broke up with Greg Norman's daughter and he was, oh, I'm heartbroken for 2 years. He's kind of like, I think that girl, his fiance, I don't remember her name.
Angela.
She's totally changed him around, man.
Yeah, he's a different man. I mean, he's been happy for years now since he's been with her. And it changed his attitude.
And that's what he needed. Go ahead.
When the Europeans lost the Ryder Cup last year, he was kind of milling off for the match he had lost to Phil in the final day, or they drew, or whatever it was.
Yeah, they have.
And they had a great match. I can remember Sergio going over to Angela. The Europeans were getting murdered. They knew he was going to lose. And here he was, just kind of arm around her, happy as could be. I mean, golf was secondary. He played great. Didn't matter if he won or lost. I think that was kind of all you need to know, that someday he was going to break through.
You're right. Yep.
If you're happy on the outside, you can be happy on the inside.
Now, I'm going to tell you, the last time I was on your show was at the Masters, and we had a little discussion how the wind was going to affect it. Remember, I told you that everybody would bring everybody in, and it did.
Yeah, it did.
You know what? The Masters used to be a putting contest, kind of. Now it's totally changed, and now it's all about ball striking.
It really is. It really is.
I mean, look at the top two guys.
Not good putters.
Great ball strikers.
That's for sure.
It's really changed everything.
It really has, yeah.
I mean, back in the day, it was always who made the putts and this and that. Now, you don't even have to make putts. Just hit it, you know, hit the greens and take care of the par fives, and you're right there.
Yeah, you play the par fives and seven or eight under, and you kind of just hang around the rest of the place. You get a chance to win.
What do you think about Johnny Rahm this week?
I mean, the odds aren't great, 16-1. I mean, for a guy who's never played this championship. But he's playing like he's a top 10 player in the world.
I've been on him. You know, when Phil Mickelson comes out, he doesn't really compliment too many people. But when he says that John Rahm's one of the top 10 in the world, I'm buying it.
If I could have gotten in at like 20-1, I'd be all over.
Yeah, you're right, though. First timer's not easy.
That's tough. That's tough. I mean, he's getting the same odds as Jason Day, who's the defending champion.
Nah, I don't think that Day can do it. Do you? No one's ever went back to back there.
Nope, not at Sawgrass. So I automatically rule him out.
Yeah, I don't think he's got it.
But how cool would be a Rom Garcia showdown on Sunday?
Oh, and then maybe a couple other guys too.
Yeah, get some other guys in there to make it interesting, not just a one-on-one.
Like Steve Stricker, baby. Hey, I'm telling you, man, anybody can – we've talked about this earlier. That course doesn't – Stricker, he could play well there. I don't know his past record there, though.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd
it's
be
not
something
great,
to look
but
up.
It's not bad. But...
Now, I played golf with Stricker back in the day. He was – He could make putts like you wouldn't believe. I played in a U.S. Open qualifier with him and Scott Verplank. Now, do you think that those guys made any putts? And here I am putting like Stevie Wonder, you know. But, you know, Verplank was basically the Tiger Woods.
He's supposed to be, yeah.
Well, he won the Western Open as an amateur.
Western Open.
Yeah.
And I played in that tournament that as an amateur.
Wow.
That year.
Wow. Yeah, between
that's Butler
you
National.
As an amateur. Yeah. You was an amateur on the PGA Tour. You've done something special.
Yeah, he beat Jimmy Thorpe.
Wow.
In a
playoff. That's a throwback. That's what, was that 1985?
No, that was the year I won the NCAAs. It was about 1990. No, you're right. It was about 1985. Yeah, it was, 85 or 86.
It's something like that.
Yep, they played Butler National.
He was Oklahoma State, right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. He was the best that they had. Back then. Well, we played on the same Walker Cup team together, too.
Yeah.
Davis
got all
Love was on that team. Duffy Waldorf. Jay Siegel. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember Jay Siegel.
Yeah, he was good. And then they had Jerry Haas, who's now the coach at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
That was a good time, and we played. And we guess where we played the Walker Cup, Pine Valley.
Cool! How cool is that?
And then guess who the European team had?
Who?
Colin Montgomery.
I was gonna say Monty.
I used to call him the Doughboy.
He's a little doughier now.
He could play, man.
He's a ball striker. There you go. Another ball striker.
I like the. That's what I am. I'm a ball striker, so I like the ball strikers.
I mean, now you got a different category. More guys than ever who just mash the ball. They aren't necessarily ball strikers. They just can hit wedges because they hit so many of them.
Well, let me tell you this, Ryan. This is my opinion, and I've asked other guys, and they feel the same way. That if the players today had to play, I'm looking at a Persimmon Wood. Right now, I'm going to pick it off the shelf. This is a super Iomatic persimmon head. This is a club I used in the Masters back in the day. If these players today had to play with these clubs, 60% of them couldn't even make it out there.
Oh, for sure. They have no chance.
You had to be a ball striker.
Oh, you had to be. I mean, I've played with clubs from the 60s and 70s, and it took like a month just to get used to it.
Well, the ball, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it cuts every three holes.
Remember back in the day, you'd blade a shot and it'd be a big old smile in it. Now these kids, they get up, they've got all this technology with the spin rate and all this crap. And what do? They just rip it, and the ball moves 2 yards.
Yeah, it's harder to move the ball one way or the other than ever.
Back in the day, with that ball and that equipment, these guys would be out of bounds.
But they would adjust, I would think. It would just take them time.
Mm-hmm. But
not all of them would, but some of them.
That's right. Some of those guys wouldn't even be out there. And the better players would be even better.
That's right. I firmly believe that Tiger would have won 100-plus times if the Pro V1 never came out.
Or how about if he had to play with Persimmon Woods? He would have won 100. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, he would be so much far and away better than everybody else.
And Mickelson, he would have excelled big time.
Yeah, he would have. He would have been up there, too.
But some of these guys, I'm not so sure, man.
Yeah, and with the way the swings are nowadays, they use the feet off the ground so much, and they would know what to do with themselves to generate power.
Right. But, so Mike, your pick is Kuchar, and who else? Francesco.
Kuchar Molinari for the money.
I'm going to take Stricker as my long shot, and I guess I'll ride that Sergio.
All right, well, let's see if we can't both cast on Sergio, because I like his chances a lot.
Now, let me ask you a quick question. On Thursday, do you go follow him, or do you just lay low?
I like to pick a group and go follow him all 18.
Nice.
Go all the way through with him.
In the morning or the afternoon?
Usually morning. Go do a morning loop and then try to figure out what I want to do in the afternoon based on how the course is playing.
Now, are you allowed to drink beer while you're working?
Not on the golf course. That's probably not the best idea. Okay. But I could show up into the media center, maybe have a swig or two, and head back out there for the afternoon.
A swig or two? I don't even drink, but I figured, you know, might not be a bad, you know, I was just curious to see.
It depends on how hot it is, too, because, I mean, if it's going to be like 85 degrees. You know, it's kind of hard to drink a beer and walk a golf course. I mean, you just get dehydrated.
You're right. People don't realize that, but you're right. It's going to be hot, Ryan.
Since it's going to be hot, I'm going to probably wind up bringing 2-3 bottles of water with me onto the golf course and fill them up as we go.
Absolutely, because it's going to be hot, and guess what? It's going to be humid.
And that means, you know, the ball is going to go far, which means they're not going to have to hit as many drivers, not going to have to hit as many fairway woods. They can get a lot of irons off the tee and still score.
Oh, yeah, they'll be hitting irons, man. Not Sergio. He'll be pumping that driver, man.
Well, if he can hit it like he did at the Masters.
He can wake up out of bed and hit it 300 down the middle.
His swing is still gorgeous all these years later.
Yeah, I'd have to say that he's one of the best ball strikers of his generation, for sure.
And he's still got some juice in the tank. He could still win a couple more majors.
Yep, I think he might win this week.
Well, let's both hope that's the case, because I would like some 16-1 action.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm telling you, I think that Stricker's not a bad long shot. I like that Francesco Molinari.
You got to get someone that's kind of in that 20 and under, that 25 to 50 and 100-plus range. You got to teach one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
that way,
I see that Molinari's brother won, too.
Yeah, he won earlier in the year. Where did he win?
Like
Thailand?
2 weeks ago.
Malaysia.
I forget where it was, but, you know, that European tour is really bad right now.
But they're coming along. I mean, I like the Golf Sixes idea. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they needed a stronger field, though, right?
Yeah, but they didn't have any money in it. That kind of made it tough.
You know that the European players can wear shorts in practice rounds?
Yeah, man.
Man, that's a hell of an idea, isn't it?
I love it. Why not?
That CEO, what's his name? Paley or whatever?
Keith Pelley.
Yeah, that's it. He's coming up with some creative ideas. I'll give him that.
He's getting there. People are kind of bristle at it at first, and they go, okay, well, that's weird. I don't like that. But you saw Golf Sixes. The crowd was pretty good.
I didn't even watch it.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Did you?
Yeah, I'd like to see it again.
Now, how did they do the last round? Did they play 6-hole matches still, or what?
All 6-hole matches. So the team that won only played 36 holes. The Danes only played 36 holes the whole 2 days.
Huh.
So they got it done. They played three six-hole matches the first day for round-robin group play. They played quarter, semi, finals, so another three. So they played six-hole matches.
Huh.
Quick, easy.
I'll have to watch that on the replay, I guess.
It's worth it. I mean, like I said, it's over in a blink of an eye. I mean, the matches are done in 60, 70 minutes.
And how did that Andy Smiley Sullivan do?
He got eliminated, I want to say, in the quarterfinal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He could putt, but...
I see that that Danny one-hit wonder Willett's playing this week.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned what his odds are.
He could be like 7 million to 1, and I ain't betting him.
You'd have to pay me just to lay down the money.
He can't. He can't play anymore, man. That win he got at Augusta was a fluke.
Well, like we said when you were on for the Masters, he's going to spend the rest of his life trying to prove to people that wasn't a fluke.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's the hardest thing to do.
His brother bashed the Americans. I don't like him.
Yeah, he's kind of behind the eight ball now.
Yeah, you're right. His brother didn't help him at all either, you know.
Yeah, it didn't help things, for sure.
But I'll tell you what, I wrote a golf rankings. I made it make up my own rankings. I had 6 Europeans in my top 10.
For this week?
No, for the whole, you know, like I do it monthly. I've got Sergio number 2, and I've got Johnny Rahm number 3.
Can't argue with those.
And I've got Tyrell Hatton at number 10.
Yeah, he's starting to fade off a little bit, but he's still playing good golf.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I like that kid.
Yeah, he's got some knocking.
Those Europeans, they got Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, Tommy Peters, too.
Yeah, there you go. I got him in there, yeah, and then we're missing a couple others. They got Sergio, Rahm. I'm telling you what, they're... Team shaping up good for a couple years.
Yeah, that's true. But you got to remember, you look at like the Ryder Cup teams from 2012 and 14. Half of them aren't even in the world top 300 now.
You mean on their side?
Yeah, on the European side. They had a bunch of guys that qualify that are kind of iffy. They get in on points, the European Tour points, and then that's their best year ever.
That's what I mean. It's shaping up better, right?
Well, hopefully. I would love to see those kind of long-term, young-term kids, you know, become part of the team permanently almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that Thomas Peters, boy. Boy, that Illinois churns out some players, don't they?
Well, Mike Small is awesome, so how can they not?
Yeah, I know Mike. I know Mike Small pretty good. He was a freshman or sophomore at Illinois when I was, you know, junior and senior at the Buckeyes. And, boy, that Thomas Dietrich, there's another guy. He's over there playing in Europe.
He's going to be able to play some great golf, too.
That Campbell, I see his name once in a while.
They're churning them out. The European guys have come over here.
They learned how to play American golf. Yep. They rule the Big Ten like we used to.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Now the Buckeyes suck. I don't get it.
Well, he's still got some talent over there, but Northwestern's amazing, and Illinois is good.
Yeah, Illinois is a powerhouse.
Yeah, they've got some games.
Yeah. But I'll have to have you on my podcast one of these times. Mine's at Get More Sports, called Golf Undigested. We got to get on there because you and me, we could talk. I'm telling you, we've been on the phone probably for 50 minutes and shit. We could talk for another 50 hours.
We could, and I think we'd have to break it in a little bit so people can listen to it, but we could go for a long time.
Yeah, we could. But listen, I enjoyed it. I'm going to email you, and then, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, I want to get some updates. I'm kind of envious of you, actually.
All right, well, we'll hook you up, and we're going to find ourselves a winner.
Thanks to Clark Burrows again for being on the show with us. Love bantering about with him. He's down in Costa Rica, which is one of my favorite places to be. He was just down there, and he chose not to qualify for the PGA Tour Latino America event down there. And as he told me, it was because he knows that living down in Costa Rica, when you have an event in the middle of May in Costa Rica, it rains every day quite a bit around noon, and sure enough, they had a hard time getting that one in. When PGA Tour Latino America went to a Monday finish. So we are heading down to Ponte Vedra Beach. Tomorrow morning we'll be at the Blog Cabin presented by the PGA Tour. Throughout the course of the week, on Tuesday, we are recording a podcast with Steve Elkington, who is former major winner, former players winner. So he's the guy who knows a little something about playing on the stadium course. We'll talk a little bit about secret golf. They just added 6 new ambassadors, including Wells Fargo Championship winner Brian Harman. And we've been showcasing their content on golfnewsnet.com. We hope you like it a little bit. They offer some great stuff, some great insight from a variety of players, men and women, major champions and not, journeymen and not. It's awesome stuff. So we'll talk to Elk tomorrow, and we'll have that up for you either late Tuesday, unlikely, early Wednesday, more likely. And so we've got a busy week for you. We've got at least 3 Players Championship related podcast this week, so we hope you enjoy all of them. Send your feedback to us on Twitter at Golf News Net or at Ryan Ballingy, or you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'd love it if you do that. Helps us reach more people with our show, and we'll answer any questions that you have with a 5-star review over at iTunes. All right, that'll do it for us this particular Players podcast. Again, tomorrow with Elkington, and then we've got one more. At least one more, maybe 2 more, depending on how everything works out of the Blog Cabin. Hopefully we can all get together, all of us who are staying there. Great lineup of guys that you'll hear more about, especially on Twitter. And hopefully we can get together and give you some boiling hot takes over the next couple of days as one of my favorite tournaments unfolds. Again, thanks for listening to our show. Thanks to Clark for being on. And we will talk to you tomorrow.